Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome back, Showing Missouri. Our conversation with Governor Matt Blunt, part two of our discussion with the 54th governor of the great state of Missouri, but his career leading up to his time being sworn in as governor. And you'd write notes. And I always thought that was a wildly disciplined thing, like consent calendar day. You'd be writing notes to people.
Yep.
I always thought that was an interesting thing. What a great use of your time. But I mean, it felt like when you became state rep, part of you started looking at running.
Yeah. I loved, in terms of personal relationships and just interacting with interesting people from across the state, loved being in the Missouri House. At that stage in my life, I was probably a little impatient.
And well, you're Matt Blunt. Your dad is Roy Blunt. He has been in statewide office. You are from the congressional district that produces the most Republican primary vote, where he's the congressman.
Right.
Everybody's going to assume you want to. You will ask you to run, right? I mean, it wasn't even you had to. You had to go seek it out. People came to you.
Well, people did. There was an election issue. You may remember there was a Bob May election for the House.
In Rolla,
and they had made some mistakes in the election. And there was a question about whether Bob May should be seated or his opponent, whose name escapes me right now.
It wasn't Hagler, I don't think.
No.
Somebody else.
Yeah, but so there was actually a number of hearings in the Elections Committee on this. And it was, most of the time, the Elections Committee doesn't get a lot of attention, but it did get a lot of attention in this. So I did become pretty well versed in the particulars of what had occurred, and they made some mistakes in boundaries, for example, and allowed people to vote. The number of voters that had been allowed to vote and shouldn't have been allowed to vote exceeded the margin of error. The margin of victory. And if I remember correctly, when the courts have adjudicated that, they've ruled that if the number of voters that were allowed to vote that shouldn't have been allowed to vote exceeds the margin of victory, you need to have a new election. Now, the House is a little different because the courts don't adjudicate that. Mm-hmm. The House and the Senate determine their own membership. So Bob May's opponent, the incumbent, was seated by the House, but not after quite a bit of objection from us on the committee and on the floor. Yeah. So, I think there was that gained a little bit of attention.
Thing for the House to fight. That's like a perfect House fight.
Fight and a good fight for a potential Secretary of State candidate.
And wasn't Bob May a great guy? He ultimately became a rep.
Yeah,
what a terrific person. What a wonderful
terrific
individual.
Person. Yeah. He was a terrific guy. When I was in Rolla, there was a pie shop he liked to go to. Yeah. So we'd go to that when I'd see him in Rolla. And it was always good.
So you see that, but I mean, had to be in your mind that, obviously I'd be a good candidate for this.
Right.
Obviously people would want to support me. I have a feel for this. Secretary of State, I've always heard from everybody. Well, I've heard from your father, from other people that served in that, is a great job.
It is a great job.
Catherine Hanway, I watched later in her career, she probably could have bailed out of that race and ran for treasurer and won.
Mm-hmm.
But she wanted to do that job and stuck in a much tougher race.
Right.
And lost. Was it the Elections Committee? Was it your father's service?
Well, I was familiar with the job from my father's service, and I'd say a combination of all those things, but I did decide within probably a year that I would seek statewide office and run for Secretary of State. And I did have some people that I trusted and admired. John Hancock, for example, came and encouraged me to run. Others did as well. I did decide to do that, and thankfully it worked out.
So give me a good story from when you're in the House. What was one of your fun days in the House? And you had a fun crew of people.
There was a good group of people. Yep. Sort of.
Let me give you a story about the campaign trail.
Okay.
I got to hang out with Mark Richardson from back home. His last campaign, he basically let me drive him around and put up signs or something, and I thought it was awesome to be with this guy that was bigger than life to me.
Oh, sure. What?
We go to this Grecian steakhouse in Poplar Bluff. It's closed now, kind of a cobblestone place. And he brings you up. But of course, Mark Richardson could make you sound and feel like the greatest person ever. I mean, he could just make you feel like all the warmth in the world was on you. And you were there, and I was like, well, this guy's not that much older than me. Mm-hmm. And you had this enormous ring on that I didn't know what that was. And you give a speech, and Mark came up and talked after, and everybody looked around the room and goes, well, this is the chance. This is we could actually win here. Because Jim Talent was a little bit of a different feel for folks in Southeast Missouri. Took Jim a little bit of time to maybe knock down some of those walls. But you came in with Mark glowing about you like he could do when he wanted to. And I'll never forget that. It was that you had a blue shirt on and pants about like that and this enormous ring and talked about running for Secretary. I don't even remember what you said. Some running for Secretary of State. And it was a cool thing to think that everybody in this room, people I respect, said, well, this is the person. There's only a thing. And then I got to be the county coordinator for the Secretary of State race down there. And it was one of the funnest. Mark said, we do that and we'll just, same time, we'll figure it out. And it was a fun experience to see somebody younger that I could relate to on some level and then to win. But I mean, when you make this stand, when you make this decision, what's your timeline on that? Did you say, I'm in for this job?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's probably the only job I thought about running for in the 2000 election.
Yeah.
So the question was whether I was going to run or not, and I was glad I did. And
now
we had a good crew. We had Spence Jackson, who you remember, was integral in that campaign. My brother ran that campaign.
What a ball of energy Spence was.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when I think of Spence, I just think of this frenetic energy, not necessarily hyper, but just energy.
Yep.
About whatever he was doing, his enthusiasm.
Yep.
And it made you want to do that, too. Like, he reminds me like Tom Sawyer. If he's painting that fence, you know, hell, I'll paint that fence with Spence.
Yeah, I got to him in 98 when I ran for the Missouri House. Spence was the Southwest Missouri coordinator for Kit Bond's camp reelection. And got to know him in that race, and we became friends. And he did a great job on the Secretary of State's race and, helped us at one point. He just moved to St. Louis County so that we could focus a lot on our St. Louis County effort, which worked out since we won St. Louis County in that 2000 election.
Tell me how it works for a freshman representative with obviously a big last name to run against a sitting speaker.
Yeah. Well, I will say, Speaker Steve Gall, I've been fortunate. I've actually come to like and admire all my opponents in the three races.
Joel's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Old school guy.
Yeah, nice. And he was always very, I think he actually maybe went out of his way to be civil in terms of how he treated me on the floor.
Well, people don't give Steve Gall enough credit for, obviously I wasn't here in Jeff City, but stepping in for Bob Griffin with everything going on.
Challenging.
That guy had a hell of a plate.
Right.
So that he was gracious about it, though. I mean, I could see, speakers are known, have a little power and using it and, he was gracious about it?
Oh, absolutely.
That's awesome.
No question about it. I actually think there were times when I would try and, would try to be recognized to speak. And I think he went out of his way to always recognize me and give me an opportunity to do so. And actually, there was one instance where he didn't do so. And he actually later said something he didn't apologize necessarily, but just, made sure that I knew that it wasn't intentional that he hadn't recognized me. But he was very gracious about it. And obviously the speaker is very powerful and controls the floor. And at the same time, it was a race. We were from different political parties. And I do think in that race, we did a better job of talking about what the Secretary of State does. Having a plan for the Secretary of State's office.
Well, something works.
And I think a lot of times, sometimes people, you should kind of go back to your question, how did I decide on that job? I mean, I really wanted to be Secretary of State and thought there were things in the Secretary of State's office that we could improve and do a better job at. So I think we did a better job talking about the position of Secretary of State in the campaign rather than just Democrat versus Republican politics.
Well, I mean, Jay Nixon had served for 8 years in the job. Sam Jones did not have a lot of funding for this campaign, didn't have a statewide reach. The governor's race was its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of the three open races, it's interesting. They all are about 52, 41 to 45, 46. It's just the other two, the Democrat was the 51, 52, and you flipped that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? That's because you talked about the race?
Well, I think we benefited from some things. My dad had been Secretary of State and had done a good job as Secretary of State and was well regarded from that service. That definitely helped. I think we did a better job talking about what the Secretary of State does. And then, you know, we tried to have a campaign that combined the need for media with a real grassroots effort. And
but when you're speaker, you've got funny. I mean, go ahead, money.
Definitely.
He could put his message out, too.
He definitely raised lots of money in his race. And he was an effective speaker. He's well-spoken, is what I'm trying to say.
If you're a Democrat on the other side of that, you're thinking, right. Okay. I mean, I talked to Roy Temple about it. If we don't beat him now, we're going to have to beat him in a bigger race. Little did they know.
Sure.
that race was marked by, people talk about Kennedy and different ones. I mean, I remember where I was. I was laying in bed when Governor Carnahan passed. I mean, I can't, that's got to be such a complicated thing.
It definitely
this is a person
things.
That you probably knew by now from your father, from you being in the legislature. And it's got to have like a million things hit you as a candidate within the last, two, 3 weeks of the race.
Right.
The sitting governor dies in a plane crash and you're on the ballot. I mean, that walk me through where you were and what goes through your head. I mean, there's got to be like empathy and then your own personal situation.
Of course,
and
yeah,
my God.
Empathy and it's just a devastating tragedy and terrible for his family and everybody involved. And so I think you certainly have that reaction. I don't think anybody at the moment had a sense of how things were going to play out. But you know, I don't think you move too quickly from just thinking about the human tragedy that's just occurred, and thinking about his family and again, as I said, everybody involved. You know, I think when you were as a down ticket candidate, didn't quite have to make the same types of decisions about how you're going to move forward with the campaign that Senator Ashcroft or Jim Talent had to make. You know, we just sort of kept our heads down and kept talking about our message, which was about the Secretary of State's office and, you know, the need to have a person in the office that wanted to.
Where were you when they told you what had happened?
I was actually in my home in Fairgrove.
Because it was late at night.
It was late at night. I was at home and somebody called me and told me. Of course, now we'd know on our phones within seconds.
You know, I had my phone kept going off. Mm-hmm. And I went to bed early, woke up, and I turned the TV on before I even looked at my phone. Mm. And there it was on CNN everywhere.
Right.
This happened.
Right.
Pictures of the crash and what have you. And it was, you know, it's one of those things you don't really forget, you know. Mm-hmm. But for you, you end up finishing. And it was so interesting. I mean, look at that race. Those three open seats, the margins are the same. Mm-hmm. Yours is just flipped from the other two Democrats that won. Mm-hmm. Governor Holden won a close
very,
race.
I think 20,000 votes.
I mean, gosh. And then, right. You know, Senator Ashcroft loses and you fall into that. You're the Secretary of State elect while the Florida recount's going on.
Right.
I guess folks want to know what you think about that, right?
Well, absolutely.
And you've got a person who's deceased, who's a new governor.
Yeah. And we'd had...
What a time.
You know, we'd had a questionable election shenanigans in St. Louis City and County. Mm-hmm. Both with, you know, the court orders, the court order that kept the polls open late, and then a number of individual court orders that had been issued by judges that allowed people to vote.
Do you think that was coordinated, some of those?
Well, I think it had to be.
I do too.
One thing that the judges were readily available.
Yeah.
Now, of course, on election day, some judges are going to be readily available in case there is a need for some sort of decision, but there were maybe more judges than would normally be available that
issued these
court orders.
And those orders were very detailed.
Very. Well, the order to keep the polling place open, I think most people believe, was crafted in advance of the election day.
Yeah.
But what we found is the big problem. So there's a couple things. In becoming Secretary of State at a time when a lot of people actually do sort of care about what the Secretary of State does because of Florida, but then also because of what had happened in Missouri. So we announced that when I took office, we would investigate the St. Louis City and St. Louis County, the election, the 2000 election, and what had happened in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. Indeed, in the rest of the state as well, but those were the two areas that had had the most problems on election day. And that we would begin to hold hearings around the state about potential election reforms.
It's funny now when you say that, after the last election, there were folks that lost that said it was a rigged election. I wouldn't put you on the spot. I've always thought that was, well, we call it bullshit in Butler County. But there was election and election procedures were on the mind of every, not just partisan, not just, but fair people.
No, I think people.
Because Florida put a spotlight on that. And I think people, it wasn't just some kook partisan thing. Regular people were like, well, how is an election that's that close? How would you know?
Right.
It was a serious thing.
It was a serious thing. And we did, you know, we did the report on San Luis City and San Luis County. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I think what we determined, there were 1,400 times, that somebody had been allowed to vote that shouldn't have been allowed to vote.
Wow.
Where you could do it by name. So if there were 1,400 times where by name we could say this person wasn't qualified and cast a ballot, either because they'd voted in two locations where they were deceased or they resided in a different state. But the biggest problem was the court orders. I think there were almost maybe over 1,000 court orders that allowed individual people to vote. But if you can do it 1,400 times by name, then you've, mm-hmm. you've got to assume that there's some multiple of that of fraud.
My gut tells me that because it's technology, people care, laws are tighter. It is better today.
It is better today. There have been lots of safeguards. We didn't have provisional voting mm-hmm. before, and provisional voting would have taken the, which we do, of course, have. We passed that in the election reform bill, but that would have taken care of the court orders. I mean, that's where you just allow people to cast a provisional ballot with their information in an envelope on the outside of an envelope that contains their ballot. And then after the election, a bipartisan team evaluates whether that person's vote should count. And that actually, provisional voting takes care of a lot of your election day problems because it allows you to allow people to vote. And if indeed those provisional ballots could impact the result of the election, you'll go through in a bipartisan manner and determine which ballot should be counted.
Well, I mean, as Secretary of State, it's frustrating. You're the chief election officer, mm-hmm. right? But it's almost like you're the chief law enforcement officer with that gun. I mean, you had a Democrat legislature. The parts that are contentious are always in Democratic control.
We had a Republican Senate later, though.
Later, but your first 2 years while you're doing these hearings. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do a lot of Secretary of State the problem, right?
It is hard, but we passed the election reform bill. We actually passed the bill in closer to my original form through the Democrat House, and then ultimately passed it in the Senate. But it was definitely... It
must have helped because there was a time when bipartisan support helped your legislation.
Right, absolutely.
And that was the era that you served as Secretary of State.
Sure. Absolutely. But we were able to get it through the process, and Governor Holden signed it, and I think it did improve the election process here in
Missouri. Tell me about that. Bob Holden, one of the nicest people in politics. Matt Blunt, one of the most professional people in politics. Everybody from after Election Day, and people kind of got over the surprise of everything that would happen. Probably Thursday, people talk about you. You're the one that won. You're the only Republican that won statewide.
Sure.
Everybody in this state assumes you're running for governor. How is that between you and Governor Holden?
Well, as you said, he's a nice, I'd like to think we're both nice and professional.
Sure.
So we had a professional relationship, and I think we got along well, and we continue to get along well today.
A little part of you that kind of felt bad that at the time you didn't end up on a collision course necessarily, but if you had to at some level feel like you were, and he's such a nice guy, right?
Sure, but I think if we'd run against one another in a general election, I think we would have had a healthy debate. And
now, while I find Senator McCaskill to be wonderful to have at dinner, nice doesn't leap to my mind. Nice person, but I don't think of her quite that way. I would think it'd be a little easier to get hyped up and run against her a little bit because, you know, she throws an elbow a little different than Governor Holden.
Yeah, well, you know, as I said earlier, I've been fortunate that I've come to admire. You know, I think one thing
she really is an admirable person, isn't she?
She what?
She's a very admirable person.
Oh, I mean, we disagree on a lot of issues that are of importance, I think, to our.
That lady loves the state of Missouri, though.
Absolutely. And I think, as I said, we disagree on a lot, but she's an intelligent, she's bright, incredibly gifted in terms of her political abilities.
You have ran against some quality people. I don't know the superintendent, but
yeah,
I mean,
I've been fortunate
Steve
to run
Gauss,
against people
well thought
that
of,
were,
Bob Holden, and she's, you know, maybe one of the best politicians the state's ever had.
She definitely survived longer than a liberal Democrat survived without those sort of skills.
Do you know you're running for governor when you read the election results that night?
I know it's in the cards. Yeah. I don't necessarily know that I'm running for governor. I think, you know, there was, for a while, there's probably thought that soon-to-be Senator Talent might mm-hmm. run for governor a second time. He'd had a very close election. Closest we'd been in the governor's race in Missouri for Republicans in a while. So I don't know that I necessarily knew that, but I'm sure it was something was on my mind. But I had I wanted to be Secretary of State.
Well, grass doesn't grow under your feet, though.
Great things we could do in Secretary of State's office. And
were you like 29 on election day?
I was 29 when I was elected Secretary of State.
And you were 33
when I was elected governor.
So, I mean, Greg, you got engaged 90 days after meeting her.
Right.
You know, your dad, same way, he didn't sit around too long. The entire state, the whole Republican Party assumes and is coming to you, treating you like the nominee before you're even sworn in. And there had to be a piece of you that's like, okay, I'm going to play this out, but this is probably
the move.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there were other people that were interested in running and were sort of out there putting out feelers about running. So I didn't feel like it would be necessarily I thought I'd have to earn the nomination if I was going to run for governor. I never took that for granted.
But did you? You had to earn the nomination by proving yourself, fundraising. I always thought it was a big help to you. You were the leader of the party. You're the mm-hmm. only statewide elected official here in the state of Missouri. I saw you go to a lot of fundraisers for that uh-huh. Republican majority.
A lot of fundraisers.
You're doing a lot of things.
Yeah. When you're the only state official,
yep.
you do a lot
Everybody
of Lincoln Days.
Everybody wants you. Everybody thinks you're going to be governor.
We were doing Lincoln Days in June because mm-hmm. when people would, they'll just say, we'll do Lincoln Day when you can come
yeah.
do it. So we did, you know, it was an opportunity to really get to interact with a lot of folks at the grassroots level.
I feel like to me that's what everybody wanted for you to run for governor. It was such an odd election night with everything going on nationally and in the state. But by Thursday, Friday of that week, people thought you'd be the nominee. And then I thought you locked that down by going to everything and being the person everybody wanted at everything mm-hmm. and then showing up and making it a good event. And more people would come to a fundraiser for a state rep, even a seat they were trying to flip because you would come.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was that solidified that. And then the majorities, you had Peter Kinder and Catherine Hanaway kind of rise to the top.
Absolutely.
Along with you. Was that ever kind of awkward? Or did they just think they were going to run statewide? They were going to follow the track you'd run from legislator to statewide office and you'd run for governor.
Yeah, so of course Peter thought about running for governor mm-hmm. in 2000, and he and I talked about that a lot. And obviously I think a lot of Peter Kinder and what he accomplished for Missouri. And
he had a little bit of your ability to win votes. There are a lot of people obviously in 2000 that voted for, they voted for Maxwell, and mm-hmm. then they voted for Blunt,
mm-hmm.
and they voted for Nancy Farmer.
Right.
There's 5% of the state that did. Peter Kinder was able to get that same for him for
in 2004
and flip that over.
And in 2008 yeah. in particular.
And make people vote for him
right.
that might not have.
Right.
They voted for one Republican statewide, and it was Peter Kinder.
Mm-hmm.
So you decide you're getting in. What's it like when you, I mean, obviously the economy went down.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Holden had a terrible economy,
yep.
which you hate it for the state of Missouri, but if you're going to run against him, you can't hate it as much as you might, as every other person might have. The legislature flips Republican,
right.
wonderful thing, historic thing, creates nothing but problems for him, helps whoever's going to run against himself. Then Claire McCaskill pokes her head up and is going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you when you started to believe she'd actually run against him? What do you think of that?
I wasn't surprised when she ran. I mean, it was a lot to pull off, though, to beat and to become a governor in a primary. So I was probably surprised when she won the primary, but
when you first
not
see
shocked.
This, when you see this happen, I mean, her reputation preceded her as a cutthroat politician. When you see that developing in your mind, you got to think, well, I'd rather run against Bob,
mm-hmm.
right? you could have picked, you'd probably run against the governor who's having some difficulties, right?
Well, I mean, when I announced I was running, I assumed that the general election candidate would be Governor Holden.
Mm-hmm. So, I know
it's probably as close as I'll come to answering that question.
There's something I remember. I found this old C-SPAN clip. Bob Dixon sent it to me.
Uh-huh.
It was Dick Webster talking about state politics,
uh-huh.
and he'd been endorsed by the AFL-CIO every election.
Uh-huh.
I saw the Carpenters Union. People came out in support of you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the union did, but I think some chapters did.
Yeah.
Not the statewide.
It's an interesting development. People, yep. We're talking about 2004 now.
Mm-hmm.
In a governor's race,
mm-hmm.
they come out for you. I've always seen your dad had a lot of support. Maybe not an official endorsement, but there's a lot of folks in organized labor that think very highly of your father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that just relationships? Is it just temperance? That the way you carry yourself? What do you attribute that to? It's not like you're going to sign a bunch of legislation to help him, but there was a sense of fairness I always thought with your dad and those guys.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I was governor and would talk to union leaders, you know, they would tell me that they knew I was going to pass some bills they didn't like,
yeah.
but I didn't do anything that I hadn't said I was going to do in the campaign, and tried to have an open ear and listen to their concerns and understand their perspective. And, you know, again, you could have a lengthy debate about sort of how unions have impacted in the modern era. I think most people would agree that at certain times in American history, unions were important to help create the middle class.
I think rational people would argue at certain times they've been very helpful, certain yeah. times you could make the other argument.
Right.
But
so you could have a debate about that, but
yeah.
again, to go back, I think, to something you said earlier, I mean, they care about the families they represent in the state, and you want to understand their perspective, and I tried to do that, and we always had, I think, a professional relationship with labor when I was governor.
Yeah, I always thought that was the case. When you come out and you start doing fundraising,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could always raise money. How? Tell me the why. I know you.
I think
you
that's
had some
a lot of discipline. There's
yeah,
a lot of discipline in there, and it's you know, in like a Secretary of State's race,
mm-hmm.
a lot of that is just people you individually ask. At the time, I mean, things may have, all these campaigns cost more than they used to. But at the time,
mm-hmm.
the money you raised was you asking people for money. So I would just pound away at the phone and the fax
machine. But in November of 1999.
We used fax machines back then, and we'd fax people and ask them for their help. And
they didn't give a damn who Secretary of State was. They're investigating Matt Blunt, who they thought would one day be governor of Missouri, right? And essentially,
that's by and large true. Those are folks that sort of want to build a farm
yeah.
team for higher office.
Build a relationship with someone they believe in, that mm-hmm. they believe will ascend to a higher office.
Right. I think that's true. Now, there are people that care about who the Secretary of State
sure.
is. You know, I think, as with all most fundraising, a lot of it is just driven by people that want to develop leaders for the future.
So, 2004, President Bush, 9/11, actually.
Mm-hmm.
9/11. Where were you at when 9/11 happened, when you first saw that?
I was on my way to the Secretary of State's building because we had a employee appreciation event we were going to do, and that's when I learned about it.
Well, for you, that's a double thing. Obviously, you know, every American, everybody in the world had to be impacted by it.
Sure.
Back of your mind, you're a naval reservist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to think, okay, I probably should start to call Melanie and
at some point I may have to. I didn't know. I just don't think any of us had a sense of what the response would mm-hmm. be like. I don't know that I thought about being mobilized. I'm sure everybody in Butler County would have done anything they could to get back at the people that had attacked us. So I had a desire to be involved, but I don't know that I anticipated or expected. I certainly didn't expect to be mobilized.
But you were called.
But when I was mobilized, again, to go, I think, like everybody, if I could be of any service at all, as we responded and got back at the people that attacked the United States, it was almost a relief. Now, we didn't have children at the time. That makes it a little easier. You know, I was mobilized for about 6 months in October of 2001.
Some intelligence work, is that right?
Well, I was in a reserve unit that actually was attached to a supporting command for what's called Chief of Naval Forces Europe, which at the time was based in the United Kingdom. I think now they've actually moved it to Italy, but at the time was based in the United Kingdom. So that's where I was mobilized to, and mostly it was around force protection efforts for the bases in and around Chief of Naval Forces Europe headquarters.
Wow.
So it was a good, I think it was the only officer in my unit. No, there were more, there were a couple of other officers mobilized in my unit, but I was the only one that actually went to the United Kingdom. So it was myself and about 30 enlisted folks mostly from Southwest Missouri that drilled in Springfield, and was definitely proud of them. And I think it was, one thing I did was sit down and talk with each of them about their situation, and they all had supportive employers and stuff back home and some community support mm-hmm. to help take care of their family. So you really, I think, saw a lot of what makes America great, a lot of why you don't want to mess with the United States yeah. and attack us, because people were willing to come together and do everything they could to support these men and women that had been mobilized.
Before we wrap up here, I want to thank our sponsors, Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops and Missouri Farm Bureau. Folks, I believe, have been supporters of yours
Absolutely.
Throughout the years.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the stretch of that election. So McCaskill wins the primary. Mm-hmm. By the primary election day, you kind of thought maybe she would, right? She had a little bit of a lead. She has some momentum.
I would say within the last 2 or 3 weeks,
yeah.
we thought that there was a very good chance she would win the primary.
You didn't have a serious primary.
I did not.
What do you attribute that to, really, in your own mind?
I think when folks were thinking about it, as you pointed out, there were natural advantages in being the only elected statewide official.
I felt like there was a hunger amongst Republicans to win, and you were the best person to win.
Well, I think that's part of what I think you had to lay out to folks, is explain
yeah.
why you could win the race.
As we become more, Republicans hadn't won in 12 years.
Yeah, it'd be 16 years since we actually yeah. won the governor's election. So I think then, particularly when the state was more competitive than it's perceived to be now, you really did have to spend a lot of time making the case that you could win the general election. And we laid out that case, and when other folks were thinking about it, we just worked hard and kept contacting folks and at the grassroots level and trying to lock up as much support as we can. But then, again, making the case that we could win. And I think people were hungry to win, and they saw that this is a unique opportunity, not just to elect a Republican governor, but to elect a Republican governor that will have a Republican House and Senate to work with, really for the first time in Missouri's modern history.
So you got a campaign that a lot of folks could have just ran, you versus Governor Holden. There's mm-hmm. your change and all this. Then he gets beat by this woman who can also say she's changed
sure.
in some ways. Kind of had to probably shred a lot of your strategy, right?
Well, definitely had to. We had a different approach to the mm-hmm. election. But elections are about choices, and I think on a lot of you just lay out the same issue mix. And she was more like Governor Holden than I was.
Did you ever think about running for Senate? Issues. In 02?
I did not. I did not think about it.
You were old
enough.
And I
think while I was mobilized, I think Jim probably decided to run.
Well, that really, if you think about it, though, when that was up, a lot of Republicans passed on that. Didn't think it was really all that viable. I mean, I don't think Jim was a lot of people's first choice, but he wanted it. He ran for it.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, being governor is a different era, and that's what
I think. It's certainly at that point in my life, maybe for always, but my skill set was more in line with the duties of the governor than I think being a U.S. senator.
So you have to shake up. I guess you get a little support from some Democrats who are still very angry at her. They were very good supporters of Bob Holden. Mm-hmm. I think a little schadenfreude. They wanted to see her lose, and you were a person that they weren't completely offended by. What was the strategy against her?
Well, as I said, I think there was a sense that people were ready for a change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of what we were doing was making the case that I really did represent change. My positions were different than the current governor's positions on a lot of issues, and hers really weren't. That,
yeah.
she might have been more articulate or have mm-hmm. a different feel or a different level of energy or a different vibe, but really her positions were the same as the status quo that had got us into the budget mess that we were in already. So we wanted to make the case that I was the person to change the state, that I could manage the state and get the budget under control. Beside the fact that while I was Secretary of State, we'd reduced the budget in the Secretary of State's office significantly. Well, she'd been state auditor, the budget in the state auditor's office had increased significantly. So we tried to make those sorts of comparisons, point out differences on key issues.
That's just such a difference. What a difference 20 years makes in how a campaign, and that's actually a factual contrast. You don't hear that anymore. It's a different era, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't. I mean, I think there's still choices, there's still contrast, but I think when Missouri was so competitive, candidates probably did have to approach races a little differently than they might today, where it's perceived as not being as competitive as it once was.
So just to wrap up, at the end, you debate her. Mm-hmm. Good debater, right? I mean, you'd seen her in action. She was a litigator, an attorney.
Very well spoken, very articulate.
You show up to that debate, if I'm you, I'm like, well, she's good. And also debating a woman's got its own nuances.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Any butterflies when you go into that, step up onto that stage?
I think anybody that says that, of course you would be nervous. I mean, you're going to be nervous, but you know, nervousness can drive positive energy just as much as anything else.
So when did you win by, I mean, it's a close race, but you won by, there was no need for a recount.
Right.
When do you know you're going to win that race? When do you feel confident?
As we started, I mean, we were exceeding in rural counties our targets significantly. So we were fortunate in that rural Missouri counties that we hoped to win by 2,000 or 3,000 votes, we were winning by 4,000 or 5,000 votes. And places that we were trying to be competitive, but that she was expected to win, she wasn't winning by the margins that we had feared.
Middle of October, the 20th?
Oh, no. I thought you meant election night when we started to know.
But yeah, there was a sense.
I felt, you know.
The president started to pull away from John Kerry in this state.
Yeah.
Early October.
Yeah, I think, though, she, you may remember she had a commercial where somebody interviewed somebody that was supposed to be me.
Yeah.
And it was, it sort of seemed silly to me, but I do think it sort of actually impacted the race a little bit. So I think things got pretty tight in like mid-October. But I would say towards the end of October, felt pretty confident about where we were. And at some point, you know, you can't change anything necessarily. You just got to keep doing what you're doing. And
I remember the
keep
Cardinals
on the
were
bus
and, in the playoffs, and people kind of didn't focus a little bit.
Yeah. So at some point, you just tell yourself you're going to win and have fun and get out there and talk to Missourians and explain what you want to do for the state after the election.
You down to Springfield for the election night?
I was in Springfield for the election night.
So what, I mean, they called it, but you had to feel good. You saw the trends going.
Yeah, we thought we'd won probably an hour or two before they called it.
What's it like when she calls you?
Well, I knew that was a difficult thing for her to do. And
it'll be surreal, doesn't it?
Definitely a little bit, but I appreciated the fact that she called, and I knew it was not the easiest moment for her and not the result that she'd wanted. So
who's in that room with you?
I think it was just maybe my brother, but it might have just been me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What you look up at Andy, what do you say? Whenever you know you've won, what do you say to him? Amazing thing for a brother to be
definitely down
this road with you.
He's been my campaign manager and was a great guy. And you know, I don't know that we would have been successful without his management of the campaign.
Damn good.
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly what I said, but I know surreal is probably a good word. I think we both were a little just sort of, this is what we'd hoped for, but
what's your dad
maybe
saying?
A little stunning.
Was your dad with you that night?
My dad was not, I don't believe he was in Springfield that night.
He's got to call you, right, at some point?
Yeah, at some point.
What's
definitely.
That like?
Well, I don't remember that call. I'm sure he was,
I've always wanted
I'm
to
sure
ask
he was
you
excited.
This, and I might have been different times. At that time, this state Republican Party was still obsessed with 1992.
Uh-huh.
It was a wound that was still gaping.
Yep.
And it would even be past when you were there, but the fallout still. any part of that that closes the loop for you and him and his mind, in your mind?
Yeah, you know, in that race, I would still run into some people that were, they were obsessed with 92. Yeah. And there were some people, I think that's probably why they didn't get involved. There's just still, 92 is a little too fresh for them. But, you know, most people had moved on. But it was, occasionally you'd hear, have it come up. But I think most people had moved on. And I'm convinced most people definitely had moved on when my dad was elected to Congress from the Springfield Joplin area, which is obviously where the Websters were from. I think
but,
that
I mean,
was
until
sort
you,
of
they
the,
had won the governor's office.
True.
Until you, they barely won a, like they won the state auditor's race, right? But that's about it.
Right.
Until you, I mean, there was still the slate that won carried that party, the Democrat Party, forward for a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, again, the 90s were a time when Republicans in the rest of the country did a lot better than they did in Missouri.
Governor Blunt, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that we can come back and talk about the, we talked about what led up to it, but the really transformative time that the state still, so many of the things you did are still in law today and nobody even questions them. Hope you'll join us. I hope we can go through that one day before too long.
Look forward to it.
It's been Shore, Missouri. This is Missouri, one county at a time. This time, one legendary politician at a time. See you next week.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
The Show Me Missouri podcast is brought to you by our friends at Halo, Heartland Area Landowners. Halo is a membership-based organization for folks interested in farming the sun and the wind. Halo members are passionate about their land, our world, and stewarding the resources that feed America, power, and its economy. Farming the sun and wind has incredible benefits for farmers, landowners, and all Missouri communities, all while helping secure America's energy independence. To learn more about Halo and how you can get involved, visit heartlandowners.farm. That's heartlandowners.farm.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.